About 10 or so years ago, a friend of mine called me up. I may have been in college or starting seminary, something like that. And he called me up and he asked me to review a pretty popular book at that time that one of his friends had been reading. And my buddy was a Christian, but his friend wasn't a Christian. And his concern for her was that as she was reading this book, that it wasn't all that helpful for her spiritually. The book was called Conversations with God, and it was published, oh, in the mid-90s by a guy called Neil Donald Walsh. And Walsh was, he's just an average guy, who in the early 90s had fallen on hard times. He was going through a personal, crisis in his life. He was searching for meaning, for purpose. And it was around that time that Walsh said he began to really ask the tough questions of God, and that God began to answer. And not just in a feeling, but audibly, God began to speak to him. He had written a pretty angry letter to God demanding that God tell him why he was at all these low points in his life. And Walsh says God answered. He heard the voice, and he responded audibly. He began to answer the questions that Walsh was asking, questions about the nature of reality, about who we are, about who God is, about right and about wrong, about purpose in life, all these, you know, ultimate life questions. And Walsh says God was answering them. So what does he do? Well, he grabs a pen and a pad and he begins to write down everything that he could hear God saying, and eventually publish the dialogue, you know, his questions and God's answers in this book. Really, I think it was a trilogy of books called Conversations with God. So what are we to think about claims like that as Christians? And that was what my friend was asking me to read and review and consider, what to think about this, how to speak to somebody about something like this. Now, the worldview that Walsh was presenting and espousing in these books was really kind of a haphazard mix of Eastern religions and New Age philosophy. It's kind of tough to review it. It was, you know, on the one hand he'd say there is no right and wrong, and then he'd say, well, we have to forgive ourselves from our sins. But if there's no right and wrong, then do you really have sins? So it was tough to nail down. But, you know, for most Christians, when we encounter books like that are clearly not Christian, right? It's fairly easy for us to dismiss them, to say, well, those claims aren't genuine. And what's being articulated in these kinds of books, that's not true. But what tends to be, I think, harder for us as Christians is to dismiss the Christianized versions of those claims. There's a lot of books, teachers, and other areas that claim to be specifically Christian, that say that God has spoken and that he's told me to tell you this. And that takes the form of books. It takes the forms of whole ministries. And we're not always sure as Christians what to think about the Christian claims that God has spoken and has revealed special revelation to certain people or certain groups. And it's not just the Christian cults. Like, you think of Mormonism and you think of the whole story of Joseph Smith, God revealing to him a whole new era of revelation. It's not just the Christian cults, it's evangelical, Bible-believing Christian literature that comes out. There's a lot of books on the spirituality section, even in Christian bookstores, on near-death experience. And in virtually all of those near-death experience books, God has some special revelation that he gives to the person that person is then told to go and tell us. Even devotional books that claim to be relaying to people what God has said. So God is, you know, it's almost kind of funny because it claims to be special revelation, but when you think about how many people receive it, it's not special anymore, right? Everybody's got it. So it's pretty common stock. But, you know, but besides the many people that say God has spoken to them, you've got even more Christians who think they need to hear it. That they think they need something more than what the scriptures provide for their spiritual health and well-being. For many, the special revelation God has given to us in the Bible just isn't enough. More is needed. Let me read just one flavor of this. This is from a very popular Christian author in a devotional book where she articulates her felt need for something more than the scriptures. Just listen to how this comes across. She says, "I've been writing in prayer journals for years, but that was one-way communication. I did all the talking. I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearned for more. Increasingly, I wanted to hear what God had to say to me personally on a given day. I decided to listen to God with pen in hand, writing down whatever I believed He was saying." And she goes on to say that this practice of listening to God has increased my intimacy with Him, and listen to this, more than any other spiritual discipline, i.e., more than even reading the Bible. So what should we think about claims like this as Christians? We should ask, does God still speak to us today outside of the Bible? Does Scripture speak to us personally? Does it address where we are in day-to-day life, our specific situations? Or should we yearn for something more? So that's what I want us to think about this morning. And I want us to just consider two things as we look here at 2 Timothy 3. Two things. Where God doesn't speak, and where and how He does. So let's begin with prayer and ask God to help us as we go through this. Let's pray. Father, we do ask for Your help and for Your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and to reveal to us the beauty and the glory of Your voice speaking to us in Christ in the Scriptures and fully meeting us where we're at in life and doing it all for our joy and growth in Christ. And we pray in His name. Amen. So where God doesn't speak, it's usually helpful to start with the negative before we get to the positive, but hopefully we'll spend more time on the positive than on the negative. But it's important to start there, okay? Because when I was in college, I was a very new Christian. My friend asks me to read this book, and this guy, Walsh, presents a very powerful, moving account of his personal experience where he claims God spoke to him. But it had nothing to do with Jesus. So was God speaking through him? Or has God told us where He doesn't speak? Well, the first thing I want us to see from verses 15 and 16 is that God doesn't speak to us outside of Jesus Christ. Look back again at verses 15 and 16. Here Paul's talking about Timothy's experience and how from childhood he had been acquainted with the sacred writings, referring to the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation, and listen, through faith in Christ Jesus. He goes on, all Scripture is breathed out by God. You see, this whole section, Paul is dealing with the nature and the purpose of God's revelation. What it is, why it's given, where it's found, what we should do with it. And in verse 15, he thinks in particular about the Old Testament. That's the sacred writings. So when Timothy was a young boy, the Bible of his day was the Old Testament. Why? Well, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. But he speaks more generally in verse 16, look at verse 16, of all Scripture. And I think what Paul is doing there is he's saying whatever is by nature Scripture is God-breathed or breathed out by God. And we know that during the first century, even while Paul was writing this, because this was late in his ministry, they were already becoming aware, the church was becoming aware, that there were writings that had the same authority and nature as the Old Testament Scriptures. And so Paul quotes from Luke's Gospel in 1 Timothy 5, and he says it's Scripture. Peter refers to basically Paul's entire corpus of letters as Scripture in 2 Peter 3. So we know during the New Testament times, there was a growing awareness that God was revealing His Word, and it was being written, And so whatever is by nature Scripture is God's revelation to us. Or as Paul puts it, breathed out by God. But notice there is a delimiter in verse 15. Paul tells us the sphere in which God's revelation comes to us. And he says very clearly that the Scriptures are given to make us wise for salvation. And then look at what he says, through faith in Christ Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament was all about Jesus from beginning to end. Jesus says as much at the end of Luke's gospel. He says, everything written about me in the entire Old Testament had to be fulfilled. Now, that was Jesus' claim. Everything in the Old Testament was about him. It was focused on him, who he is, what he was coming to do. And so whether it's the Old Testament and certainly in the New Testament, I mean, the four Gospels, all about Jesus, theological portraits of him. The letters are all about Jesus. The book of Revelation, all about Jesus. Everything God reveals to his people is focused in the person and work of Christ. So where God doesn't speak, he doesn't speak outside of Jesus Christ. And that makes a lot of sense, right? Because Jesus is the Word of God. Remember how John 1 puts it? In the beginning was the Word. Very interesting way John describes Jesus. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word there is Jesus. Because a few verses later it says that the Word became flesh, became a human being, and dwelt among us. And then at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, when people see Jesus, they see him and they identify him as the Word of God. So God just doesn't reveal himself anywhere outside of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why I don't think we should listen to claims from people like Walsh, who say that they're speaking on behalf of God that has nothing to do with Jesus. In fact, a bulk of it just completely contradicts what Jesus has said. So God doesn't speak to us outside of Christ. But then second, I don't think Jesus speaks to us outside of the Scriptures. Now, let me just make some clarifications. By speak, I'm not thinking here of what we call general revelation. You think of Psalm 19 and how God speaks to us in a very general sense through the world round about us. The heavens declare, speaking, right? The glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So there is a sense in which God speaks in creation, revealing his power and his glory. But I'm using the word speak here about special, what we might call propositional revelation. God speaking words to us, telling us things, telling us what to believe, telling us what to do. And then second, by speak, I mean today. Because certainly there were times in redemptive history when God spoke outside of Scripture. I mean, you should think about every time God spoke when the Scriptures weren't there, right? Think about God speaking to Adam in the garden, or to Noah during the flood, or to Abraham or Moses. There were no written Scriptures at that time, and he was speaking outside of Scripture in a very special way. Or you think about the prophets like Moses and Samuel. He even spoke through Balaam's donkey. I love that account. When God opened the mouth of a donkey and spoke to a so-called man of God, prophet. So God has, in the past, spoken outside of Scripture. But those were times in redemptive history when God's word hadn't been fully set down in the writings. And even in the New Testament times, you got the apostles, you got prophets, and they had to speak because there was no New Testament yet. So, we're thinking about today. Does God speak to people in that way today? Should we expect as Christians, in our normal Christian experience, for God to come and speak to us in the garden like he did with Adam? Should we expect an audible voice from heaven like what we saw in the baptism of Jesus? I think even in New Testament times, there was an awareness amongst the church that there was coming a time when the New Testament itself was going to be completed. And at that time, the ministry that God had given to apostles and prophets would be fulfilled, would be finished. And there's a very helpful verse on this by Paul in Ephesians 2:20. And there Paul says that God gave as a gift of grace to his church the office of apostles and prophets. These men called by God to speak forth God's revelation. And the purpose that God gave them was to lay a foundation for this new covenant church. And once laid, I think that their work would be completed, that their purpose would be fulfilled. And I think the point Paul's making there, and we'll see this here in just a second in our passage, is that once this foundation is laid, their work would be done. That the people who revealed God's word to his people were not going to be a permanent office in the church, but they were going to be permanent by way of their writings. And you know, we in this room have today the word God revealed to Paul. We're reading it. And to Peter. And to the inspired writers in the New Testament. God's preserved them for us. We have them. And we study them. So once that time had come when the New Testament was done, the Bible says that those apostles and prophets would pass away. And that their writings would be preserved for us throughout the centuries. And that's been the case. And I think Paul knew that. I think Paul was aware of that. And I think that's why he tells Timothy here in chapter 3 to look to the scriptures. Because you got to remember, this is probably Paul's last letter. Paul's own death was, as far as we can tell, imminent. As far as he knew, this was the last shot he had. And what does he tell his young protege, Timothy, to hold on to when he's gone? What is it that Timothy's to cling to rest on, to use as God's word for him as this apostolic era comes to a close? Well, we're told right here in this passage. He says, Timothy, you've known God's word speaking to you from childhood. You've had the scriptures. And now I leave you to fulfill your ministry with the same scriptures. That's how God is going to be communicating and speaking to you once this era is over. Paul and the other apostles were soon going to be gone for Timothy. And with them, their special revealing of God's word. But for Timothy, he was still going to have the Bible. And the scriptures, Paul says, are sufficient to make him, and every other believer, I mean, that's the implication, complete, he says, competent, sufficient for every good work. Now, when I say that God no longer speaks to us today outside of Scripture, I think it's helpful just to make a few clarifications about what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that God isn't able to speak today. A lot of people hear that and think, well, you're just limiting God's power, that God can't do it. God can do whatever he wants. I mean, he spoke through a donkey, right? He could speak today if he wanted to. It's not a question of can he, it's a question of does he. Does he use his power to speak outside of Scripture, or does he use his power to illuminate the minds of those who read him speaking in the Scriptures? And I think that's what God does. It's not because he's unable. But second, it's not because he doesn't personally lead us anymore. The reason these books about God's revelation to some specific person are so popular, that sell so well, is because the claim is that there's a special way that God has led this person. And if you just follow their pattern, he'll lead you in that way too. And then I come around and I say, well, no, the Bible says that God doesn't speak that way any longer. And the implication is, well, God doesn't lead us. And I don't want to hold to a view that says the Spirit isn't guiding me and directing me and comforting me and helping me. But that's not what we're saying when we say that God only speaks today in the Scriptures. The same Paul who wrote this passage also wrote in Galatians 5 that Christians are to walk, to conduct their lives by the Spirit. I mean, day by day, as we walk through the Christian life, we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit. He's ministering to us. Romans 8 says that the Spirit is within us, directing us, indwelling us, assuring us, helping us, interceding for us. He convicts us. He comforts us. Day by day, God, the Holy Spirit, is with each and every believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I think a lot of times Christians will say that God speaks to me, and that's what they mean. All they mean by that is that God is prompting them and impressing them to go this way or that, giving them peace about decisions, and just guiding them in life. And now, if that's all we mean by God speaks to us, that's fine. But it's when we push further than that, when we say, no, 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 He's doing more than that. He's speaking to us outside of the Bible. He's got new, audible revelation that He's telling me, and here's what you need to know that He said. That's when I think we begin to become weary. The point is this. God still leads us today, personally and lovingly and graciously, but He uses His Word in the Scriptures. So does God speak today? Answer, yes. Don't miss that. He continues to speak to us every day if we would but listen to Him. Which raises the question, where and how does He speak? Three things. He speaks to us personally and all sufficiently in the Bible. Let's take each one of those. Number one, He speaks. Present tense. When Paul says the Scriptures are breathed out by God, that's a wonderful description of what the Bible is. I had this professor in seminary. He was Canadian. So if you're Canadian, I don't mean to, maybe Canadians do this all the time, I don't know. But he had this really long beard, and anytime you come up afterward to ask him a question, he'd get like this in front of your face. And he would always mess with his beard right here. You know, do that number. And I always knew what he had for breakfast. And I always knew what was on his mind because he was brilliant. So every time he would speak, you'd feel the breath coming right into your face, you know? That's what happens. We're exhaling as we speak. I loved him. He was wonderful, okay? Maybe that's because he was Canadian. Where's Cody? Yeah. Amen, brother. But just think about that imagery. Breathed out by God. God speaking. I think it was Augustine who said, what Scripture says, God says. Right? It's not that the Scriptures contain God's voice. The Scriptures, it is God's voice. It's breathed out by God. I love Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3:7 says this. The author to the Hebrews is introducing a quote from Psalm 95. And listen to how he introduces it. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, present tense. Not as the Holy Spirit said, but as the Holy Spirit says. The psalm was written hundreds of years earlier from this guy's perspective, but he says it continues to speak. The ancient Scriptures contain God's voice presently to us. And that makes a lot of sense in light of our call to worship from the fourth chapter in Hebrews. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what Scripture is, because it is God's Word. He's speaking to us. But then second, He speaks to us personally. And this really gets at that felt need that the author we quoted earlier had. Remember the problem that she articulated, that she had with Scripture. She didn't find the Bible addressing her personally. She was looking for something more. She didn't see the Bible as addressing her specific needs in life, the specific things that she was going through. And so she felt she had to look for something beyond that. And that's what so many of these books present to us, even the near-death experience books. There was a message that God had for me when I went to heaven that you need. That's not necessarily recorded for you in the Bible, and it's vital for your health and well-being spiritually that you hear this. Because the Scriptures in some way don't speak to us personally. He's speaking to Moses in the Scriptures, or to Timothy in the Scriptures, but is he speaking to me right here, right where I'm at in life, with this particular struggle that I'm going through, with this season of life that's so difficult, with this relationship that's just not working out, with this job that isn't coming, with whatever it is you're going through in life? Does this book speak to you personally? Now look, I'm not going to argue that the Bible is going to tell you what to order at Subway. It doesn't get that specific. But it does speak to us intimately and personally for whatever we go through in life. From childhood, Paul tells Timothy, you've known the Scriptures. You've known the God of the Scriptures. You've known the Christ of the Scriptures. The same Scriptures that he knew when he was a little boy, he still knows. God is still speaking to him through those Scriptures, saving him in Christ. I mean, think about the ministry Timothy had and the weight on his shoulders. And Paul says, the same God who is speaking to you personally through everything you've gone through from childhood is still going to be speaking to you as you go into this new era of ministry. And it's going to be personal. It's for you, Timothy. In Matthew 22, Jesus quotes from a centuries old verse where God was speaking to Moses. Think about this for a second. Jesus quotes an ancient verse where God was speaking to Moses. And he quotes that verse to a group of people and he says this, have you not read, that's this book, what was said to you by God? Isn't that amazing? If the Bible is not a personal book for each and every Christian, that doesn't make any sense. They could have said, well, that wasn't written to me. That was written to Moses, and it was written centuries ago, and it didn't have anything to do with me. Jesus says, no, that is God speaking to you. And friends, that's true not just of that particular verse, but of everything God has said to us in Scripture. I mean, you can't read like Psalm 119 and come away thinking that the Scriptures aren't personal. When the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I mean, you get up at night, it's dark, and you're trying to fumble around the room. I mean, your specific situation requires light. And that's what God's word gives you for whatever path you're on. It meets us in the ebb and flow of life. And I can just testify to you personally how countless times God has just shown how intimate and personal this word is. A few years ago, Katie was pregnant with our third, and we thought we lost her. And so we're going to the doctor. We expect to hear that we've lost our little girl, and then we hear a heartbeat. She's alive. Let me tell you what I was studying and teaching through right at that season of life. From Philippians 2. Listen to the next verse I was at. And tell me that God doesn't work personally in our lives. He, Paul speaking of Epaphroditus, his co-worker in the gospel. He was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I have sorrow upon sorrow. That was the verse that God spoke to me personally at that time in our lives. There was nothing more I needed than to hear that. And you know what we named our daughter? We named her Alea, which is the Greek word for mercy, right out of this verse. So every time you see her, it should be a reminder to you that God's word is all sufficient. It's personal. It's intimate. He does that for us individually. He does it for us corporately. I'm amazed week by week how people come up and tell me that was exactly what I needed to hear. That was exactly addressing what I'm going through in my life. I had no idea. My next verse is whatever the next verse is in the book. God designs these things. And then lastly, he speaks all sufficiently. That should be clear by this time. There's nothing you need more than this book for your spiritual vitality, joy, growth in Christ. Look at what he says in verse 17. The scriptures make us competent and equipped, and listen to what it, for every good work. There is not one thing God calls any of us to do that his word in the scriptures doesn't fully equip us to do. Not one. The last song we sang, How Firm a Foundation, I think this wraps this all up. The first stanza says this, how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? Let me just ask you a question, Christian. What more can he say to you than what he's already said? What more can he say? We don't need to yearn for something more. We need to yearn more for what he's already said. And if you don't know Christ, if you're hearing this and you're hearing about this relationship, this intimacy with God, this personal relationship, and that just, you don't need to go somewhere else to find God. He is right here in these scriptures. And he's revealed himself to us in a person, and his name is Jesus. And if you want to know God, you got to know him. And forgiveness of sins is free, but it's not cheap. That's why this whole book focuses on what he did for sinners like us on a cross. And when we receive him by faith, he's ours. And we get to live not only here this side of heaven, but into eternity, knowing and enjoying all that God is for us in Jesus Christ. So yearn for the word of God. And may we all be able to say with the psalmist, David, in Psalm 19, that the scriptures are more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Let's pray. Lord, we've tasted honey. We know how sweet it is and satisfying it is. Lord, we know what treasures are. We know the value that they hold. And yet, Lord, we are told that the word of God, to hear you speak to us, to have a relationship with you through Christ, and to be hearing you daily speak to us, trumps whatever these things could offer. And so would you make the word sweet to our taste? Would you make it valuable to us? And would you do in our hearts what we can't do for ourselves, keeping us close to Christ and helping us to know him, to enjoy him here and into eternity? We pray in his name. Amen.